This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Last week, at VotePG and at Chairman Alex were busy tweeting back and forth on several political issues. Those comments were retweeted by others, and people were able to offer their comments as well. It's just another example of how social media is changing the political landscape. Hamilton County Republican Party Chairman Alex Triana-Filou and Cincinnati Councilmember P.G. Sittenfeld are joining us to discuss that and how they are able to disagree without being disagreeable. You can join our conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook, and of course, since we're talking about Twitter, we're also on Twitter, and our handle for that at 917WVXU. Coming up later this hour, we'll be talking about a new book on FDR and his fight with polio. Again, our number 513-419-7100. Thank you both for being here.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for having us here.
So let's, if I were calling you to the principal's office, who started it?
I'll give the context for that, and then the chairman might have some disagreement.
You were the instigator.
I was the instigator. And it's great to be here, too. I always enjoy a friendly debate with Alex Triana-Filou. We're glad that we live in a system and have the tools and technologies to do this. But last week in council chambers, Councilman Charlie Winburn made a comment that he thinks it's wrong that Governor John Kasich has raided local coffers, not just of the city of Cincinnati, but of communities across the state, really hurting our and others' ability to do things like, you know, make sure levels of safety and basic services in neighborhoods are being delivered. So I thought it was very interesting that an elected Republican on city council said he was willing to go up to Columbus and get some of taxpayers' hard-earned money back to the city of Cincinnati. So I said, well, let's make it a bipartisan caravan. So I thought, this is interesting. You know, a Republican, I don't want to say has broken ranks. But so I then went on Twitter, and this is part of the fun of the medium. I tweeted at Chairman Alex and said, Chairman, would you join Republican Winburn and Democrat Sittenfeld to go up to Columbus and get some of our money back? And I just thought it was an interesting question to pose to Chairman Triana-Filou.
Well, and, you know, he's done this before, where he's done the at mention, and we've sparred a little bit. This one got a little bit more aggressive, and I think we both had a little bit more fun with it than we have in the past. I immediately, I think, pretty quickly responded with my own snarky remarks back about, you know, him wanting to go to Columbus to get some handout dollars. So we had a little fun with it back and forth. And, you know, it really, I'm glad we're talking about this today, and I'm also very pleased to be with all of you. The social media landscape right now is so interesting, and it's changing politics in so many ways. And even yesterday, Jay, you know, there were members of the council tweeting during the meeting, which is just a new way to cover what's happening.
So have you got this bipartisan caravan put together to...
I have surrendered the shotgun to Alex Triana-Filou if he wants to join caravan. He'll respond on Twitter.
And I think I heard yesterday that Councilmember Winburn has even backed out that maybe that's not such a good idea to go meet with the governor to try to get your local government funds restored.
Oh, has he? Well, he has not shared that with me yet. If the trip ends up getting canceled, I'll look for other replacements.
Yeah, I won't be joining the trip, I can just assure you of that. No need to go up there. We got a great governor doing a wonderful job for our state and has really balanced an $8 billion budget hole that was left for him by his Democrat predecessor. So, you know, we're going to disagree probably on this issue.
Well, I disagree with Kasich's performance. One thing I do agree with Alex about, the landscape has been so dramatically changed, and politics is a really great place to actually get to use Twitter, that as things are happening, you can put out a tweet, you can put out a comment, you can put out a question, and people of all, you know, stripes, sizes, political persuasions can join the conversation in real time immediately. I think it's incredible. I think, you know, on the whole, it's a very democratizing force, and I think it's a good thing for politics, actually.
Yeah, every
once in a while, I mean, this kind of thing can get out of control, though. I mean, I remember in the early days of tweeting, one of the council members started tweeting about a fellow council member in derogatory terms.
It became
a big story.
I think one thing I would say to that is, and I presume that Alex probably feels the same way, I hold myself to the exact same standard on Twitter that I would on a radio show on WVXU or anything in council chambers. You know, and I think, as you said in the opening, Jay, you know, we had, I think, a pretty heated, robust, lively debate, but at the end of the day, it was civil, and it was actually pretty substantive. We were both sticking to the things that we believe in, and there are obviously disagreements there. But, you know, I wouldn't say anything that I thought was childish or immature or offensive in council chambers. I wouldn't do that on Twitter either, Alex.
Howard, you're exactly right, and PG is exactly right. And we actually preach this to our candidates. You know, as a chair of the local party, I talk to new candidates, a few old ones along the way as well, who are not adjusting so quickly to social media. And it is important to remember that every one of these tweets is being said to a room full of thousands of people, potentially. I mean, I'm up to a couple thousand followers, and OPG has more than that. You know, and if these things get retweeted, for instance, by any one of the local media, you're talking to tens of thousands of people potentially. And there is sometimes a concern by those of us who have to make sure politicians are doing what they ought to do in the public sphere, that they're going to step out of that and maybe in a moment of just snarkiness or indiscretion send out a tweet they ought to not send.
Well, and look, I think the media landscape has obviously changed so much too. It was either yesterday or the day before. I had a few quotes in the paper, but rather than being things that I said in council chambers or, you know, a reporter on the phone, it was, you know, blah, 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 is the comment tweeted P.G. Sittenfeld.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
What I wanted to ask you about one phrase I know in a couple of your tweets when you were going back and forth. Noun plus verb plus streetcar.
Yeah, I'll explain that. Or do you want to go first, Alex?
Well, you know, PG made a fairly high-profile decision to come out in favor of the streetcar, and I'm being nice, PG, right now. But he made a rather important decision to come out in favor of the streetcar post-election, and that's something that, frankly, did not sit well with most Republicans. You know, he thinks that every time that we have a problem with his position that we talk about the streetcar, and I'm happy to keep that conversation alive, PG.
And I am, too. So to respond to Alex, one, on the substance of the issue itself, I believe I did the fiscally conservative thing to do, which is not flush $80 million down the tube with nothing to show for it, not lay off workers, not stunt development, and not do huge damage to the city's reputation with the federal government and our national image. And interestingly, Alex knows this because he has just a few emails of a much larger representative sample sitting in his inbox. I forwarded him from, you know, some big Republican names as well as some, you know, average citizens who identified themselves as Republicans who wrote me to say, PG, thank you for not doing what was political, not what you were afraid the GOP chairman would attack you for. Thanks for doing what was common sense. So on the substance of the issue, I own it 8 days a week. And really, that's been the feedback that I've gotten. In terms of noun plus verb plus streetcar, you know, obviously in politics, people play politics. But I think what people reward and appreciate more is sticking to the issues and being substantive. So I think sometimes, and you know, look, I want to be nice to Alex too. So do I feel like he's done this on occasion? Do I feel like some of his counterparts do this on occasion too, where it degenerates to, you know, all of the woes of the city, got to be the streetcar. Why was it so cold outside last week, Howard? Got to be the streetcar. Why'd the Bengals lose in the first round, Jay? Must be the streetcar. Noun plus verb plus streetcar. It's just not a mature way of having the conversation.
Well, to give you a substantive response, what PG did surprised a lot of Republicans in the city of Cincinnati who voted for him. He took a very different position post-election than the one that he had essentially campaigned on. He did it, frankly, before the studies came back telling us where this thing was. He was kind of the first one out of the box when the throng started showing up down at the Mercantile Library and even on Fountain Square to be for this. We saw his decision as political. We called him out on it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be the loyal opposition in that regard. Again, substantively, most Republicans, especially those Republicans that work in the city of Cincinnati but have to live in the suburbs, who are never going to benefit from this very short streetcar line that really is not regional transit, doesn't do anything for economic development in the real world. They don't want to pay for this thing, and they see their earnings taxes and other taxes that are flowing into the city being spent in other ways, and they just don't like it. And we're going to continue as Republicans to talk about that.
So I do believe they will continue to talk about it, and there will be more noun plus verb plus regard. But Jay, just to respond on one specific thing, there is a Business Courier article that spells out the following. There is live footage of words from my mouth that clearly articulate the following. What I did during the campaign trail was explain votes I happily own, why I voted against allocations in the past. There was never anything before us to say scrap the whole project. When I went and got those facts for myself and it came out how hugely damaging it would be to the city of Cincinnati, how very unfiscally prudent it would be to cancel the entire project, I did the common sense thing. I'm glad that I've had so many of Alex's Republican counterparts say thanks for doing the right thing. So that will people continue to demagogue it and use it as a reason to go after what someone they might see as a strong candidate? I suspect they will. Yeah, but
PG says repeatedly that my Republican counterparts are for this. He's certainly not.
I've heard from many.
No, PG, let me finish. This is certainly not happening in the Republican Party. His decision.
You better
to
get
do
him
this,
under control.
His decision.
Then.
No, you're interrupting me again. Don't do it. Listen, his decision to make this flip flop really, really concerned Republicans, and he scored a lot of Republican votes in the city. And I know a lot of those Republicans wish they had a do-over on this. We can argue the merits of this.
They know common sense when they see it. They still see it.
Let's don't get sidetracked too much here on the streetcar.
But one back thing, to Twitter.
But let's talk about social media, though. Would the streetcar project have survived had it not been for social media and all of the, you know, the supporters contacting each other and staying in touch via Facebook and Twitter? Would the vote have been taken to keep it going had it not been for social media?
Look, so at the end of the day, I think so much of politics. Don't show me someone who is, you know, charismatic. Show me someone who is organized. Politics is about being organized. Twitter, Facebook, these are unbelievable organizational tools, and they were used to rally a very sort of fervent, intense base around this issue. And frankly, a fervent, intense base was rallied against the issue as well. So I would answer your question of saying without social media, the streetcar probably would have died. Yeah.
And there's a part of me that probably agrees with that. What's happened with social media, some people see that and confuse that with public opinion, because not everybody's yet on Twitter or Facebook, and they'll see this outcry of those very few citizens who are actually engaging social media and believe it to be a representative sample of what's actually occurring politically, and I don't think that's true. So there's some danger to that. I'll also remind you and your listeners that, you know, much of the crisis in Egypt over a year ago was started through some tweets. So this thing has taken international flavor in terms of changing public opinion and affecting public policy.
If I could echo one thing there, I think social media can be used to galvanize and to inspire people and to rally them and say, show up here, or you post a really compelling visual and suddenly tens, hundreds of people have shared it. To Alex's point, one of the dangers of social media, it can definitely be an echo chamber too. So my Twitter followers and the people who I follow, they are Democrats, they are Republicans, they are people who agree with me, they are people who don't agree with me, because I don't want a bunch of people who are always going to say, PG, what you're doing is so great, that makes so much sense. I'm friends with Alex Trenofilo on Twitter because I want to hear different perspectives, and I think that's important. Echo chambers can be real dangers.
But you two just had a very intelligent conversation about PG's vote on the streetcar. Can you do that in 140 characters in a back-and-forth medium like Twitter?
Yeah, I think that's another one of the dangers of the medium, and we were talking about that before we went on air. I mean, you're limited to this 140 characters, and I don't know about you, PJ. I know you do it an awful lot, but sometimes I'll have to really think about how to best phrase it in those 140 characters so you make sure you're getting your point across. It can be dangerous, and you know this if you text folks. It can be dangerous sometimes to limit yourself to that number of characters and to be misunderstood. So, Howard, to answer your question directly, I think it can be dangerous, and I'm not always sure that's the best way to engage in public discourse.
Howard, I find myself sometimes writing formal emails or thank you notes, and instead of writing the word Y-O-U, I just put the letter U. This is clearly not a text, not a tweet, so I think the key is that Twitter be, in addition to, you know, taking the time to read long articles, to give things complex thoughts. Can you have or convey a complex thought in 140 characters? I think it's a challenge. So I think the danger would be if Twitter sort of supplants in people's lives the time they take to read long articles, to sort of really give deep thought to things.
But you, PG, I've noticed on Facebook particularly, I mean, you will go at great length.
People tell me my Facebook posts are too long.
The longest posts on Facebook by far.
Yeah, they are a little long. I mean, and that is part of my, because actually some people around me sometimes say, PG, and Alex, you might agree with this, if you want people to read it, make it much, much shorter. And I think that's true. But I don't want to sacrifice the ability to offer what I believe is a complete, cogent, thoughtful sort of analysis. And sometimes that needs to be done in more two sentences. If you lose some readership along the way, I think the sort of thoughtful, committed folks who are willing to stick through three paragraphs, it's worth keeping them.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about the role of social media in politics with Hamilton County Republican Party Chairman Alex Trenofilo and Cincinnati Council Member P.G. Sittenfeld, and who my Twitter handle is @JHanselman, and I outed Mr. Sittenfeld yesterday that he actually can eat three cheese conies faster than anyone that I know.
It's so reflective of the landscape we live in. We had a 5.5-hour council meeting yesterday, and when this happens, someone from my team will run out and get 3 cheese conies. I managed to eat 3 cheese conies in about 3 minutes. So as I was walking back into council chambers, I said, you know, sorry for the absence, had to go inhale a couple cheese conies. Next thing you know, it's on Twitter, @VotePG, inhaling conies. So, and to Alex's point, too, about candidate training, not only is it the tweets that you put out, but anyone at any time can see you doing something, can hear you say something. Oh, yeah. There's no, I mean, to the extent that I do sort of believe privacy is dead at some level. You know, I mean, the things you do in your own home, in your own bedroom, maybe that's private, but that's one of the last places, because anywhere, someone can get on their Twitter account and say, I just heard @Chairman Alex say this, and he didn't mean it for public consumption.
And include a photograph occasionally. Yep. So yeah. It really has certainly changed politics in that way.
You two are having a friendly. You did your thing back and forth on Twitter, and you're sitting here. We're talking about it.
Alex actually has me in a headlock right now. I want listeners to know that.
He's.
But more yesterday, City Council voted on the responsible bidder ordinance as it relates to Metropolitan Sewer District projects and waterworks projects, and Council decided not to repeal that ordinance. And Greg Hartman got on Twitter and said, regrettable action to not repeal responsible bidder. The ordinance is not legal. County sets procurement rules under Ohio law. To which Councilmember Seelbach responded, perhaps if you would have responded to my many attempts at mediation in the last 5 weeks, we could have avoided a vote today. What I'm wondering is, you know, they're trading that back and forth on, and I know that they've also been sharing text messages back and forth on that topic, but they're not, no one's sitting down to really
whatever happened to good old-fashioned in-person conversation.
I think that there's been that conversation. I think I can tell you from my conversations with the two Republican county commissioners, they've made an effort, and I don't know if we're going to debate this question of responsible bidder substantively,
no.
But you said no, and I'm not sure PG's going to listen
to
you.
I will also resist.
But listen, I watched very carefully that Twitter exchange, and it even got a little snarky when Commissioner Hartman referenced talking to your new lawyer. I don't know if you saw that from Seelbach.
I did, yeah.
So, you know, but those things are going to occur. And I believe this as a conservative Republican. I believe that more speech, more democracy is better for the system. And the more you have your elected officials speaking out and having their voices heard, the better decisions people are going to make about who they are as people and what their decision-making processes are.
So I think I agree with that. And I mean, you know, would I rather have Councilmember Seelbach and Commissioner Hartman having 140 character exchanges over Twitter than sitting down face to face in person, you know, long conversations, complete thoughts? Of course not. But on the other hand, maybe an interaction wouldn't have happened at all if it weren't for what was able to happen on Twitter. So I think it's one of those things where you can't sort of unwish technology. Twitter is here. And I think, you know, Romney's campaign manager, who I think was sort of famously, people said he will be the last ever campaign manager who wasn't on Twitter. It's just the world we live in. So, and if there are some, you know, look, my father and mother actually are not the most technologically savvy. So I'm sure there are some folks listening right now who might still be thinking, what's a Twitter? Who's Twitter? But it's where we are. It's where we're headed. So get on board.
I completely agree on that point. And we urge our candidates, all of them, running everything from, you know, local township trustee to Congress, that you have to be active in social media. It's a great free way to reach a lot of voters.
Do politicians get into trouble when they maybe start sharing personal and family info online via Facebook and Twitter? Should you, as a politician, should you stick strictly to public issues?
Well, I think on one end of the spectrum, you know, a guy named Anthony Weiner comes to mind, that there are such things as an overshare without question. So, you know, keep it appropriate. But I actually, so look, Facebook was created my freshman year of college. I think sometimes people refer to sort of me as part of the Facebook generation.
I do feel old.
I think it's, you're not meant to feel old, but I think it's great that actually this is this tool with, you know, and Alex and I probably have maybe more than your average person, Twitter followers who we don't know, Facebook friends who we don't know personally. But I think it's a really fun medium to get to share that, look, I'm not just someone who has opinions on the streetcar and on property taxes and on neighborhood revitalization. I'm also a person that enjoys these extracurricular activities. And this is, you know, meet my parents or meet my new nephew, that sort of thing. So yeah. I actually think it's great.
You know, it's something I struggled with, frankly, as a heavy user of Facebook. Like PG, I think I've hit the maximum number of followers or friends on Facebook. And again, I know a very small portion of those people personally. You wonder a little bit about how much you want to put your family out there. I have a teenage son. His mother's not allowed to put him on Facebook. I do occasionally. I do it just to keep it sort of human and personal. The other thing I do, and Howard knows this, PG probably knows it too, I'm a big fan
baseball.
Of the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah. So, you know, that stuff's more fun. And for me, when I get home at sometimes way too late at night, you flip open the computer, you're able to just kind of interact with some people on something more lighthearted. Sometimes it's political, but sometimes it's just something as silly about what's happening in sports.
I've always had this kind of dividing line of, you know, on Facebook, it's more the personal stuff, my baseball posts and all that kind of thing. And then on Twitter, it's politics. I mean, do you guys see any kind of dividing line that way? Or?
You know, the one interesting thing is that a tweet is sort of so ephemeral. It's there and then it's past that yeah. It almost feels just to me in terms of the differences that like it matters a little bit less. It's going to move down the feed. But just to the previous question one more time, I mean, obviously, you know, Howard was at the Inquirer before he came over to VXU. You know, we had a strictly reporter candidate relationship there, but it was still nice that I can then go on Facebook and read a Howard Wilkinson insight about baseball, and I can like it, and I can see a different side of Howard that doesn't compromise any professional relationship. But at the end of the day, we're all human beings, and I think showing some of that human side is a good thing, not a bad thing.
Howard, your question was about the division, and yeah. I think people who are new to it want to keep that division more in place. I see that a lot. Especially on our side politically with judicial candidates who yeah. I tell them, you have to do this. Well, they feel very uncomfortable, and they really shouldn't. The ethics rules prohibit them from going further on other political issues. But you see that line often, I think, with people who are new to the medium. Once they get more comfortable, my sense of it is they start putting more out there and kind of crossing that line a little bit.
Do you worry about backing yourself into a corner maybe with aggressive public exchanges on Twitter? Maybe inadvertently you end up, you know, saying or agreeing with something that perhaps, you know, you may want to change your mind later, but here's this Twitter record. Oh, no, here's what you said on Twitter last week.
Yeah, you know, for me, I'm very active in, well, one, I pump out a huge amount of correspondence on Facebook, on Twitter. I, on another station, host a radio show, and I thought about this as, you know, What if you get in trouble by saying things? And I feel like for those of us in public life, you basically make a decision at the beginning. Am I going to be constantly afraid and overly cautious? Or am I going to be authentic? Am I going to be a real person? And am I going to own what I say? And I chose the latter. So have I and will I get myself in trouble with, you know, things I tweet, things I say on a radio show? Probably. But I'm a human being. No one's perfect.
It goes back to the original point, and that is you have to remember as you engage in social media that you are in a very public forum. Although you're sitting at your computer alone maybe or wherever you might be, you're engaging in a very, very public forum. As long as you keep that in the back of your mind and you're faithful to that commitment, whatever you're saying is on the record, and you have to be mindful of that.
Jay, do we get to give our Twitter handles one more time?
Sure.
All right, I'm at VotePG, VotePG.
I'm at Chairman Alex, and if you want good information, daily tweets come out from the Hamilton County GOP at Hamco GOP.
And if you want to see at VotePG sparring with at Chairman Alex, you'll see plenty of that too, but all in good fun.
We do want to work a caller into the conversation. Joe is calling from Terrace Park. Joe, you're on the air.
Hi. I think this message is probably for Chairman Alex. I figure that the way I see things in Cincinnati and Hamilton County is that, in my experience, Democrats seem to be a little more tech savvy with social media than the Republican counterparts.
We appreciate the compliment.
I wanted Alex's thought on that, and maybe where he sees it, the GOP going in the future as far as social media is concerned.
I actually agree with your observation. I'll say this. I think certainly the demographics of the GOP tend to be a little bit older, and I think that plays into the mix. I am going to remind Howard, though, one time when he was still over at the newspaper, that he put out a blog once calling me the most adept user of social media in the local political scene.
I did.
So I remind a lot of my friends on the Democratic side who think that us Republicans are...
You have competition, though. Yeah,
well, I certainly
yeah,
do.
Times are changing,
no,
Chairman.
No question, but I think...
At the time, you were, yes.
Well, you know, I'm, and I know that's been a couple of years ago. So I feel like locally we really have been a little bit on the cutting edge of this, candidly, trying to move this along. You know, I'm now on Snapchat, by the way. We're on Instagram. We're in these new media.
He's got me beat there. I'm not on Snapchat.
So
Rand Paul.
Yeah, I think the caller is correct, Jay. I think that we as Republicans have to do a much better job of understanding the power of this free medium.
Couple of quick things here before we wrap up. Joe, we appreciate the call. Brandon tweeted, PG is killing it on VXU.
Thank you, Brandon.
What about this danger of, and I know this has happened to Mayor Cranley, parody accounts that, you know, it somehow works in Mayor Cranley, but it's not John Cranley who's behind the account.
Yeah, look, I mean, I can speak to this a little bit more personally because there have been parody accounts where someone does. So, again, my Twitter handle's at VotePG. Maybe someone.
Can you get that in one more time?
No. But I was going to say someone creates a Twitter handle that's, you know, at vote APG, you know, throw in my first initial, and then they're tweeting things as though they're me, or people create these accounts where they are vicious, and the sole goal is to basically be mean to you. And look, I mean, it's politics, as a New Jersey governor, who I will never try to emulate, says, you know, politics ain't beanbag, so it kind of comes with the territory. You just hope that people hold themselves to high standards. They don't always.
You're going to find scurrilous behavior everywhere, and that's what's happening sometimes with some of these accounts. When I realize that what I'm dealing with is one of those accounts, I typically will block it. I just don't have any reason really to listen to that stuff. What I appreciate, frankly, across the aisle and in my own party are people who are authentically behind their account, who are offering up their positions. That's the best way to use this. Some of that stuff, I frankly see it as silliness and not part of the adult conversation about moving our community forward.
And on a sort of bipartisan note here, I would totally echo that. I would never consider blocking Alex on Twitter because we have great civil, healthy...
You've come close, PG.
I never have, and I never would. But look, this is one of the nice things about social media. If someone's sole goal is to just, you know, speak malicious, unfactual, nasty things, you can block them. The technology's helpful in that way, too. Most people don't, so you get to have lively debates.
We also had Eric tweeted he is enjoying the light sparring going on here in the studio.
Tune into Twitter for some heavier sparring. Right. We're being civil for public radio.
But we can have, you know, you can do this on Twitter. We can have the two of you in here and talk about this in a fun way, agreeing to disagree without being disagreeable. Why can't what you do go and extend to the national level where it seems it's so, you know, it's my way or no way?
You know, Jay and Howard and PG, I think you all know about the Beyond Civility project that is being undertaken here in Cincinnati. I'm a steering committee member along with my counterpart in the Democratic Party, Tim Burke. You know, we asked that very same question, and that is, how do we continue to make this dialogue civil? You know, I'll confess that PG and I once had occasion to sit socially and just chat. I think it was over a cocktail, maybe even. But we, you know, I think that was a good way for us to understand that we're probably not going to agree on most major issues. But, you know, the way to advance the ball, I think, on both sides is to be more civil. And I'm going to remind every Republican who might be listening, our hero in the Republican Party is a fellow named President Ronald Reagan, who was cheerful, optimistic, outgoing, thoughtful. When we veer away from that, which we always occasionally do in politics, I think we're on the wrong path.
For me, I think part of it, and look, whether it's in the chambers of Congress or in the sort of realm of Twitter, like Alex was saying, I mean, you know, be civil, don't be nasty. And for me, look, I'm a proud Democrat. I have progressive values, but I think most people that know me think I'm very fiscally prudent. I'm common sense on the issues. So a big thing I think needs to take place just for the conversation to work is people rejecting extremism, right? So we saw yesterday a budget bill pass, and Alex probably has different feelings than this, but an overwhelming majority of the House, including a majority of the Republican Party, said, here's something that no one loves, that everyone can agree with. 67 Tea Party members, who I think represent a little bit more extreme brand of politics, went off on their own, and I think it's the same thing where they're saying, we'd rather drive the country over a cliff, over a fiscal cliff, than deal with problems in an adult way. So no matter what the medium is, rejecting extremism, rejecting ideologues, I think that's healthy, you know?
I'm going to give Alex the final word, and then you can continue this on Twitter.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we can. And I just have for a moment to defend our Tea Party followers. I subscribe to many of the Tea Party beliefs. We have a country that's headed toward a fiscal cliff. It's a bipartisan fiscal cliff created by both sides. The Tea Party's done a terrific job of zeroing our attention in on these fiscal problems, and I don't consider those folks extremists.
But this is a tension that Alex and I will discuss on Twitter. Is Alex Triana Filou a Tea Party guy, or is he more of a mainstream?
We reject your labels.
Or is he more of a mainstream Republican? Tune into Twitter to find out. Okay.
Time out. And now that we're about to wrap up, Alex, you can let PG out of the headlock.
It's good to breathe again.
We've been talking about the role of social media and the what it's playing in politics with Hamilton County Republican Party Chairman Alex Triano-Filo and Cincinnati Councilmember P.G. Sittenfeld. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
Coming up, we're going to hear about a new book on FDR and his fight with polio. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.